The birth of Jesus took place in the city of David called Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary were provided a space in a stable because there was no room for them in the inn. When Mary bore Jesus, she wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger. Listen to the story of so long ago.
Please be seated. If you will turn in your bulletin, we will join together in the Advent reading. A core foundation of faith is hope. As a community of believers, we trust God's favor and believe the birth of Jesus Christ points to great hope. The first Advent candle is a sign of hope. God's favor is with us. We trust in hope. A core foundation of faith is love. As a community of believers, we trust in God's possibilities and believe the birth of Jesus Christ points to unconditional love. The second Advent candle is a sign of love. God's possibilities are with us. We trust in love. A core foundation of faith is joy. As a community of believers, we trust in God's future and believe the birth of Jesus Christ points to great joy. The third Advent candle is a sign of joy. God's future is with us. We trust in joy. A core foundation of faith is peace. As a community of believers, we trust in God's promise and believe that the birth of Jesus Christ points to abiding peace. The fourth Advent candle is a sign of peace. God's community is with us. We trust in peace.
After the birth of Jesus, an angel appeared to the shepherds, and they were afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, on earth peace among those whom are favored." The angels made their way to see the baby who would become the Savior of the world.
Our reading this Christmas Eve night is from the book of Luke. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. "And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, 'This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There is also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who are looking for the redemption of Jerusalem." Hear what the Spirit is saying.
First of all, I want to say a word of thanks to this congregation, the Foundry congregation who is gathered here, and those of you who are watching on our live stream broadcast of the service. Last week was a very traumatic week for many of us who are part of the United Methodist Church. One of our pastors was defrocked Thursday a week ago for conducting his son's same-sex wedding and refusing to repent of it. And we were moved to invite Pastor Frank Schaefer to come and to preach last Sunday so we'd be in a congregation that was welcoming and supportive and friendly. And we also announced a love offering for the Schaefer family. When you are defrocked, your income stops. Your housing allowance stops, your health insurance payments stop. And so the thanks I want to say to all of you is that the offering that we received in this congregation last Sunday as a love offering for the Schaefer family was almost $20,000, and we have received almost another $10,000 over the internet from people around the country, most of them in in contributions of $25 or $50 or $100, but we're close to $30,000. So I want to say thank you to this congregation for supporting Frank Schaefer and his family. You're great. Thank you so much. Frank said very little about this until just yesterday when he said to me that he really hadn't shared it with anybody, nor had his family shared it, but they have two kids in college. And the family was desperately worried about how they would make it through this. And you have made all the difference for them, and you have also made a profound witness to those who would defraud clergy for treating all people with mercy and grace and welcome, that Foundry Church will support them and be behind them. I'd like to ask the staff who are present if you'd come into the center of the vestibule. If you would look into your bulletins on the inside first page, there is a listing of all of our staff. And this Christmas Eve, I want Foundry Church. I think Thomas, I told Thomas to be listening in, if Thomas would come into the sanctuary. This church, not all of our staff are present. Thomas is taking off his baseball cap. You can wear your baseball cap, Thomas. This church has the most amazing group of committed staff of any church I've ever known. They give of themselves and their time and their commitment generously and sacrificially. Not all of our staff are here, but I want to say first of all thanks to the staff who are here, and then I want you to make a commitment that when you're here during the week and you're passing through our office, to thank our staff for the hard and sacrificial work that they do. Would you express your appreciation to Foundry staff? And then, I can't say it enough, my worship is really made through the ministry of music of our choir. So I'd like to ask our choir to stand. Thank you, choir, for your commitment, your dedication, and the offering of your talents in the worship. If you have lost a loved one during the last year that you would have spent time with during this Christmas season, I'd like to invite you to stand for a time of prayer. If you have lost a loved one this past year that you would have spent time with over this Christmas season, I'd like to invite you to stand. And I'd like you to focus as a congregation on the person who is standing closest to you. I believe, I don't understand it intellectually, but I believe that our prayers for each other are powerful and healing. So during this time, I'd like to ask you to focus on a person standing near you and to bow your heads and let us pray. Life, O God, includes great joy, but it also includes pain and grief. So we ask you now in the ways of your spirit, in the ways of grace and mercy, to minister to these persons who are standing in our congregation. Grant them an awareness of your presence and of the love that can never truly separate us from one another. Bless these persons now, we pray, during this holiday season. May they be thankful for the gift of love that they have been given. And may they be enabled and supported to entrust their loved one to your care. Bless them in a special way this season, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. For some of our members, this is a particularly difficult season. When Pastor Frank Schaefer was here this past Sunday, and I mentioned that he had been defrocked for refusing to repent of having conducted his son's same-sex wedding, I paused for a moment to catch my breath, and the applause in the congregation just began and wouldn't stop. There was this wave of love and appreciation toward Frank that we could feel up front. And after the service, I began to realize what some of that was about, because some people started to tell me their stories. They told me stories of families who stopped talking to them after they came out. Stories of families who, after they had made a gender identity transition, of parents and siblings who never spoke a word to them again, never ever. They told me stories of finding a partner and being told by their families that they had to decide whether they would celebrate Christmas with their family without their partner or not come home for Christmas. They told me stories of loved ones who would not come to their weddings or would not allow them to go to church with them when they were visiting because people at their church might figure out that they were gay, and they would feel embarrassed. So most families of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, queer people are welcoming and affirming and accepting. Many are. But there has been enough experience of familial rejection among the gay and lesbian community that when a father chooses to love his son and to conduct his son's same-sex wedding at the cost of losing his career, that folk in our congregation know that that's a special and a good thing. So I also want us to be aware this evening that there are some of our folk who are feeling the pain of separation from their family during this Christmas season. If you are a parent or a sibling or a relative of a gay or lesbian person, love them. Love them, and the rest of it will take care of itself. Almost every Christmas Eve, someone says to me, "My parents will be in church tonight. Could you ask them in some way to accept me?" So I'm not going to ask you to accept them. I'm going to ask you to love them. If you have been gifted with a gay or lesbian family member, love them. And if you are separated from your family this season, because of differences or separation from this, you are in our prayers, and I ask you to keep loving your family and allow the grace of God to work. The Gospel of Luke's telling of the Christmas story, part of which we heard tonight, the Gospel of Luke's telling of the birth of Jesus story, the way Luke tells it, the story is mostly about young people. Newlyweds, a baby, actually a couple of babies, a pregnant aunt, shepherds who were probably teenagers, angels, no matter how old they really were, who always looked young. So the story in Luke is about all these young people, all this energy, all this celebration, all this joy, all this anticipation, all this fertility. Then 40 days after Jesus is born, when it was time for his parents to take him up to the temple to have him circumcised, old people suddenly appear in the story for the first time. There were two of them at the temple, an old guy named Simeon, whom God had told he would not be allowed to die until he had seen Israel's salvation. Simeon, and an 84-year-old woman who spent her time hanging around the church named Anna. So what is Simeon and Anna's job in the Christmas story in Luke? Their job, after all this celebration, all this joy, all these marvelous happenings, their job, the old people's job, is to tell Mary that her life and the life of her baby will not be easy. In fact, it will be very, very hard. Your son is going to be in for a lot of opposition, Simeon tells Mary. Lots and lots of it. Lots and lots of struggle. Lots and lots of opposition. He will have a hard life. And then Simeon adds, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. After all the celebration and marvelous promises about this special baby, the old folk have to be the ones to give Mary the bad news. So this is the role old people get to play in the Christmas story. I want a rewrite. We who have lived for a while know that life has its share of pain, disappointment, grief, failure, guilt. It does. No one gets through this life very long without scars. And the secret to a good life, I suspect, is to learn to do what Simeon and Anna had learned to do, which is to praise God in the midst of joy, but also in the midst of pain. Anyone can praise God after you've scored the winning touchdown. Doesn't take any real spiritual depth to be able to praise God after you've scored the winning touchdown. The real secret is learning how to praise God when you've just been shut out. The real question is not whether Mary can praise God when an angel appears to tell her that she is the favored one, or that God's eternal promises will be fulfilled through her, or that her child will be joy to the world, the Savior of the world. The big question is whether she will be able to learn to praise God when her son faces terrible opposition throughout his life, and when she is standing beside a cross on which he dies, while a sword pierces her soul. Will she be able to praise God and to trust God then? It is hard to imagine so. It is hard to imagine that Mary will be able to praise God while her son hangs on a cross. The part of the story of Job that has always touched me is how, after Job has lost everything, his wealth, his home, his family, his health, how after he's lost absolutely everything and is being sort of painfully prayed over by his friends, after he's lost everything, and excuse the masculine pronoun, but Job says of God, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It is sort of like Frank Schaeffer saying last Sunday, the Sunday after he had been defrocked, that he loved the United Methodist Church. It's hard to imagine so. Although my family has shut me out because I am gay, yet will I love them? Hard to imagine. Even though my life will include pain, disappointment, grief, failure, and guilt, yet will I love and trust God? Hard to imagine. Here is the secret. Old people have to teach us young people. Us young people who are all full of anticipation and energy and joy and excitement about the life ahead of us. When life has its hard moments or days or months or years, when it feels as if a sword is piercing our soul, we probably won't be able to see it at the time, but those are actually the times that God is closest, that God's angels are watching over us most carefully, that God in our life, like God in the life of Jesus on the cross, is most at work through us. So praise God then. Praise God then. Praise God when it's hard. Praise God when it feels like you're losing. Praise God when it seems as though things are getting worse rather than better. Praise God then, because that's what people whom the Spirit is dwelling in do. So praise God then. I wish for all of you a very joyous Christmas season. May your Christmas be wonderful, full of love. But when lonely times come, hard times, when failure comes, when anxiety comes, when worry comes, when disappointment comes, when a sword pierces your soul, God will be there. God will be there. And by faith, even when we don't see it or feel it, we can praise God then. We can learn, like Simeon and Anna, how to praise God then. Sometimes you really can learn something from us old folk. After laying our acolyte lights the Christ candle, please join in the people's response. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. As a community of believers, we marvel at the courage and trust that was in Mary. We rejoice in the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Holy One. We light this Christ candle and trust in God's provision for the world that is redeemed through Jesus Christ. We celebrate Emmanuel. The Lord is come. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Amen.
Let us pray. O blessed Lord Jesus, give us thankful hearts for you, our greatest gift. Let not our souls be busy inns that have no room for you and yours, but quiet homes of prayer and praise, where you may find good company, where needless cares of life are wisely ordered and put away, where the wide streets and the spaces are kept ready and available for you, where holy thoughts pass among us as we fervently watch and wait your coming. Lord, strengthen our core faith that we may be ever mindful of your love and grace. So when you come again, O Blessed One, may you find all things ready and your servants waiting, not for a new master, but for one long loved and known. Even so, Lord, come. Lord Jesus, come. Amen.